The sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. Please join me there, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Pray with me. Our God, help us now and bless us now and give us good understanding of your truth, that we will think rightly about who you are and rightly about what you have done and rightly about what you would do in our hearts and in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, I saw the account of a young man named Jonathan Cross. Jonathan Cross, he was 15 years old earlier this year. He had a father who appeared to have been very committed to him and very involved in his life. His dad drove him to guitar lessons every single week. And then Jonathan's dad passed away. Jonathan was 15 years old, and he was heartbroken. He was heartbroken over having lost his father. Now, some of us have already known that pain. The rest of us, we wouldn't want to sit and think on it too long, because of the sorrow and the suffering that comes along with that idea. Well, Jonathan, of course, was heartbroken, having lost his father. But then at his birthday, at 16, his sister said, "I have a birthday surprise for you." And she blindfolds him, and she puts him in the car, and she drives him to the music store where his father had taken him for the lessons. She takes him out of the car, and they go walking in, and they take the blindfold off, and he sees where he is, and she hands him a birthday card. And he opens it up, and it's from his father. His father had already got this card, and he reads through, and it's about sweet memories that they had together. And it said, "I am so proud of you." And she said, "And there's something else." And she took him over to the counter, and they pulled out this guitar case, brought it up on the table, and they opened it up, and it was this guitar that he had been looking at and wanting and dreaming of. His father had ordered it for him and paid for it for him before he had passed away. Well, the boy looks and he stands there. And then he bows his head and he weeps. Because of the love and the affection that had been shown to him. What had been purchased and what had been given. This morning, you and I interact in a memorial. We look at and we consider what love and affection has been shown to us, what has been purchased, and what has been given. So the call for you this morning is to respond to this sacrifice with heartfelt love. Our first step, number one, is join this memorial service as much as you are able. Join this memorial service as much as you are able. Verses 19 and 20. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." This is given to us as a memorial. This is tied to the Passover. We could look at that and see in Luke 22, verses 7 and 9, they went and they prepared the Passover, and this is the setting in which it took place. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord." I've had interactions with different people, and sometimes I bring the Lord's Supper and we deliver it to you, and it's as if I bring such a burden and I bring such a sad thing to you, and some of you have come to me and said, "It's supposed to be a celebration. It is supposed to be a time of rejoicing." But we look and they're both wrapped up in the supper. There's both in it. We look at the supper and we see that someone had to die. Jesus had to die for our rescue. That was a part of the sacrifice. We look and a father gave a son. And that is a part of the sacrifice. And that is a part of the memorial as well. But we look and we see that this was done for us. So we don't just mourn over what the father lost. We don't just mourn what the son suffered. But we also rejoice in the love that has been shown to us. Sometimes we feel loved, don't we? Sometimes there's different triggers for each of us. Different things make each of us feel loved in different ways. Sometimes we have to step back and look and see. Am I thinking rightly and feeling rightly about my relationship? Am I feeling the love that I ought to feel? Am I experiencing it the way that I ought to experience it? We can take it in our relationship. And if just one thing goes wrong, one thing's awry, we act as if the whole relationship has been shattered. As if it has all been undone. As if we're broken and the relationship is broken. But there's so much more. So much more strength undergirding a real relationship. And there is so much strength undergirding your relationship with God the Father. When one thing goes wrong, does that mean he doesn't love you? If you're not getting precisely what you want, does that mean he doesn't love you? If he says wait for a day, wait for a year, wait for a decade, wait for a century, does that mean he doesn't love you? No, he's given us precisely what we need. So we remember the Father's sacrifice. We remember the Son's sacrifice. This is a part of our participating in the memorial. And now we do our part in the memorial. In 1 Corinthians 11, 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, in our church, in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, there is no shortage of proclaiming God's word. No shortage of it. At one wedding service, a man came up to me afterwards and he complimented the sermon. He said, "That sermon was so biblical." I was shocked and I was scared. I wondered, what kind of church do you go to? What kind of sermons do you hear that are less biblical? Well, we have the word proclaimed in the preaching, but also we proclaim the word of God in the singing as well. We actually get to announce what God has said every week. Well, here, as we have the Lord's Supper, as you receive it, you also proclaim. Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And this brings us to our second step. Is rejoice in the benefits of Jesus' death. Rejoice in the benefits of Jesus' death. At Luke 22, 19 and 20, he makes it clear what's going on and what's going to take place. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it. He broke it. Few things are as disturbing as seeing a body which is broken. the arm going the way it shouldn't, or the leg going the way that it shouldn't. It gives us shivers, the idea of a body broken. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can we go through the motions without thinking that? Can we have the Lord's Supper and receive it rightly without thinking that? And in the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Poured blood. Poured blood is a disturbing image. I think God made blood red on purpose. Like you see the red lights behind your car, and you're shocked and you're concerned. You see the stop sign, or you're supposed to. You see the red light, or you're supposed to, and you were supposed to respond. You feel the bite of a knife, and you look to see, do I see the red? Should I be concerned? We look, and today we see the red. We're not concerned. It's the blood that's not ours. It's the penalty that we have not had to pay. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? We look and we see the picture this morning, the illustration, the demonstration of the body that's been broken on our behalf. So we're not broken. We see the cup. We see the red, the blood that was spilled, not our blood spilled. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? We participate in his death. We participate. Why aren't you killed? Why aren't you going to be destroyed in the day of the Lord, in the day of carnage? Because you've already died in Christ. In Christ, you participate in the punishment already poured out. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Strengthened and encouraged. Blessed. If you study battle, or if you study combat, one of the most important elements is getting the supplies to your forces so that they have the strength and they have the resources to fight. This morning, this is supply brought to you that you would participate in. You would have the strength and you would have the resources to fight. We look at the death counted as your death, the righteousness counted as your righteousness, and his body being raised, being your salvation. Our next step, number 3, set yourself to live out the covenant. Set yourself to live out the covenant. We look at verse 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And verse 20. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten it, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Covenant, when do you hear it? Covenant, when do you see it? When do you see it taking place in this life? How many of you have entered into a covenant? How many people have sat in a hot dog shop and heard somebody make reference to a covenant? We don't hear it. It isn't taking place. People are not thinking about covenant anymore. But Christ says, this is the covenant. This is the relationship in my blood. Covenant, another way to define it, is an alliance or a pledge. A divine ordinance with signs or pledges. Here we have the sign and we have Jesus' pledge. He said, this is the arrangement. This is the agreement. The Father long ago had said there will be enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. He will bruise his head. He will bruise his heel, but you will crush his head. This is the arrangement. This is the agreement. This is God saying what he will do. And he was saying, I will save you. I will rescue you. You will be delivered. And Jesus says, this is the new covenant in my blood. I die and I am raised again. And you are saved in this sacrifice. This is the covenant. In Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He makes the promise. He makes the arrangement. We look at a marriage today and we see marriage is broken on both sides. The scripture is given and we're supposed to have this picture of Christ coming and him being the bridegroom. He is the groom and he says, I've done it. I've done it. I have accomplished the covenant faithfulness. You are in this. You are arranged with me. This is the reality. You are saved because of who I am and what I have done. And I will never let you go. And then our part in John 15, verses 5 through 14, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're waiting for and longing for? That our joy would be made full. We look for it in so many other places. But here it is in Christ Jesus. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Our next step, number 4. The bread and wine remind you of his becoming a man. The bread and wine remind you of his becoming a man. Look with me again at verses 19 and 20. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. God saying of bread, this is my body. If any one of us in any setting pulled out a loaf of bread and said, this is my body, we'd say, well, that's odd. That's a strange notion. That's a strange idea that you would say that. Equally so, God saying, this is my body, should strike us. That's odd. That's strange. That's a surprising notion. When Jesus did the same speech after he had fed the 5,000, everybody was confused when he said, "You have to eat my body." That's odd. That's a strange saying. We don't talk that way. Well, this is odd and this is strange because we don't normally think of God as having parts. He's not a man that has a body like men. The scripture tells us that. And yet, something has happened in which he came and he has dwelt among us and he has said, "This is my body." It's supposed to be unusual. It's supposed to be surprising. It's supposed to be just as unusual and surprising as understanding Christ as the Emmanuel, God with us. This is how he is with us. Philippians 2:8, being found in the appearance as a man, he, that is God, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What does this do for us? That's what a friend of mine often asks when we discuss doctrine. He says, "But what does it do for us? What difference does it make? Why? Who cares? Why even go here or consider these ideas as what he brings?" What does it do for us? That Jesus became a man. What does it do for us to consider God coming in the flesh as we take the bread? What does it do for us? Well, one of the elements is, it's like a shared experience. A shared experience. There's people that you can get together with from your past, and you can say, "You remember when?" They say, "Yeah, I remember that." People in our churches, they always try to make the connection. Were you here then at that time? Did you go to Geneva? Have you had this connection? They're looking for that connection. Well, God before, having always been in heaven, he was perfect. But the scripture talks about Jesus being perfected as he came as a man. And that's something that had surprised me before. In what sense is God perfected? Well, he was perfected in being made a high priest for you and me. As you and I have suffered in the flesh, he has suffered more so in the flesh. As you and I have been tempted, he has been tempted more so than you and me. This is that picture of God with us in this shared experience. This is beyond what we think of as, and I'll just put an air quote, the natural state of God. This is God going what I would call above and beyond. In Luke 17:4, Jesus says to the Father, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do." This brings us to our fifth step. Stand in awe of Christ's commitment. Stand in awe of Christ's commitment. As you heard the story of the young man and the guitar, I imagine you were moved by it, as I have been. Some of us were likely choked up by the story. And there's a video of the boy as he stood at the counter and he just looks at the guitar and he marvels and he literally bowed his head and wept. Because of the love that was shown to him from his father. The scripture tells us of a greater love. And if we would be moved by that story, how much more would we be moved by this story? The story of Christ. Or are we handling the things of God casually? If we are unmoved. Philippians 2:8 reads, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, we can read this a couple of different ways. We can say, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Or we could read it with shouting, even death on a cross. Can you imagine such a love? Can you get your head around the idea? Loving you to the point of death, even death on a cross. We come to the memorial. We see what has been accomplished. And if we can think rightly, we will stand in awe. So as we come now, our last step is for you to set your mind to announce your need and commitment. When you take the Lord's Supper, you are saying, I have needed this. I had need of Jesus to pour out his life for me. I had need of his death, even death on the cross. And you take the bread and you take the wine and you say, and I'm committed to him. I am committed to him. I am committed to him and who he is, what he has done. I am committed to his family. I am committed to his household, as there is one cup, as there is one bread. We do this. We do this because he died for us. Why did he do it? He did it because I needed him to. I needed him to. And he is good. And he is loving. And he is gracious. So we receive it today with love and with awe. Pray with me. Our Lord Jesus, we rejoice in you and in your power and in your great affection. Lord, we turn our hearts to you completely now, focusing on who you are and what you have done. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.